Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Mike Larson, a project director for JCJ Architecture, on how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted the shape of the casino floor and the future of resort design. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. With every other slot machine turned off, three seats maximum at blackjack tables and similar limitations at other table games, no buffet, temperature checks, and dozens of other changes, large and small, casinos that have reopened following the COVID-19 lockdown look and feel different. Mike Larson has visited dozens of those reopened casinos, mostly clients of JCJ Architecture, and has come away with some strong feelings on how casino design has to change in the short term and the long. Space is sometimes limited within a casino environment, so social distancing can be difficult, but not impossible, says Larson. He talks about all the elements of change and how he's seen and advised casinos to approach it. Since the Tao Group is a JCJ client, he's right in the middle of reimagining the nightclub and day club experience. He spoke with me at the GGB offices in Las Vegas in June. Larson, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. I understand you've been traveling the country helping some of the operators get up and running after being closed for a few months. Tell us what that's been about. What has been the reaction of the operators when you show up and give your advice?
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. We have been talking to a lot of our clients and a lot of our operators across the country. Mm-hmm. JCJ is right. Nationwide with seven offices. And I've been focusing on a lot of the properties here in Las Vegas and working with my colleagues in mm-hmm. other offices to address our clients across the country. And, we're seeing a lot of excitement. It's obviously a strange time and a tense time, but a lot of our clients are really anxious to get going mm-hmm. and to understand what's out there and understand, how this pandemic is going to affect, the properties now, the projects in the pipeline and, mm-hmm. and the future to come.
Sure. Okay, great. So what kind of impact has this had for designers particularly? I mean, I'm sure you and your colleagues have been in the middle of a couple of projects. And how does that impact what you're doing there?
Yeah, fortunately, more than a couple. And I mean, the answer is really it varies because mm-hmm. we have projects currently, on our drawing boards that range from concept design, through deep stages of design, into construction administration. So each one of those projects is being affected in different ways. And, we are in different locations. Mm-hmm. The attitudes of people in Las Vegas or Phoenix or New York are very different based on their experiences. Right. So we're hearing different things. But I think the overarching sentiment is it's a lot of discussions, a mm-hmm. lot of exploration, and just really collaborating on the what ifs because right now nobody has all the answers.
Sure.
So it's just a lot of talking about what are the opportunities that might be coming out of this and how best to implement long-term concepts in beyond just what the short-term fixes might be.
So, we've already seen the casino floor had already started to evolve again, as if it hasn't for the last 40 years. But, there's been more spacing out between the machines even before this COVID happened, little carousels, four or five machine carousels, that kind of thing. But now, they've got every other machine turned off and it's really not a very good look. What are some of the ways you're approaching the layouts that are in response to this pandemic?
Right. So, well, you're right. So over the many years now, we've been seeing much more generous casino floor space than arguably is really needed based on demand. So, I think the first and the easiest thing to do is we're probably going to see regrouping of carousels in a way that eliminate side-by-side or at mm-hmm. least limit side-by-side gaming positions.
Right.
But what that's going to do is it's going to free up a lot of opportunity for other use. And I think the real opportunity there is how to use that extra space in a flexible nature to, you know, give the guests opportunities for enjoying themselves that may not be typical of a casino floor. So I think the key is flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, our clients are going to want to pivot as they see new trends evolve and what customers are you know, looking for.
Sure.
Ultimately, you got to keep the energy up. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's important density to think of, whether you're thinking of the relationship between table games and slots and where you place these things to make sure that there's a critical mass of that energy in the casino.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to keep that. But ultimately, you know, you got to balance that against, you know, the space and,
right.
and the distancing that
sure.
that
sure.
need to be incorporated.
Like early in this thing, I had one of the operators send me a hand-drawn diagram of how they were going to kind of reverse the slot machines. If they're all in one row, one would be facing in a different direction. So you'd be sitting on one side, the other player would be sitting at the next slot machine, but on the other side of the mm-hmm. row. You know, so you're definitely separated. But then, what do you do with the back of the slot machine?
Exactly. Yeah, and there's things like that you got to think of, and ultimately it's like what are the short-term solutions, which
sure.
that might be a short-term
sure,
solution
right.
versus what might be better in the long term,
sure.
and being a little more thoughtful than reactive, and I think that's what we'll see is the things that'll withstand the short term are
sure.
going to be the much more thoughtful solutions.
Well, one of the solutions that people have brought up are these plexiglass dividers between the slot machines and certainly the table game seats. How long do you think that's going to last?
I don't see that lasting.
Yeah.
I think that is really going to be a short-term solution. Because, you know, now with both the state mandates combined with the property regulations that are saying everybody has to wear a mask,
right.
you know, we have a kind of a belt and suspenders
sure,
situation
right.
with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, the one thing that the plexiglass does that masks don't do is it really inhibits sound transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So one of
right.
the things that I've noticed as I've been out there is – you know, you have two people trying to interact. You know, just take a guest
yeah.
Guest room registration. And if you have a host behind a plexiglass shield, they're wearing a mask. And you have a customer on the other side, they're
right.
wearing a mask. Nobody can hear each other. There's background noise. And you also can't read lips now, which
right.
you don't realize
exactly
how important
right.
that is.
No, exactly
and,
right. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, you don't need both. So I think the plexiglass is going to be something that comes down and
right.
we're going to see as kind of a short-term solution to
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Longer-term
when they mandated the masks for table game play here in Nevada just a week ago, it mm-hmm. seems like months ago now, but they said if you're sitting at a plexiglass, then you don't need the mask. So, you know, you're right. It's like doubled indemnity there.
Right. Yeah.
So, How about the table game pits? Do you see them changing the way the layout of the tables change?
You know, I don't know about the layout of the tables.
Mm-hmm.
I think there very well could be permanent changes
mm-hmm.
Or at least options to the tables. You know, the you know, currently we're seeing three gaming positions instead of six at blackjack tables,
sure,
for
right.
instance. You know, moving forward, I wouldn't be surprised if that's an option
mm-hmm.
in the long term, because you're always going to have, you know, from here on out, you're going to have people that want space.
Right.
So, you know, I could see that being something that happens into the future.
Sure.
But again, back to what we talked about before about maintaining energy, you know,
right.
on the gaming floor, you have a craps table, and we've
sure.
all been there
oh, yeah.
when, you know,
right.
when somebody's on a roll and it feels really good and the energy is
yeah.
big and the crowd is big. You know, how do you do that with keeping
exactly,
the distancing?
Right,
it's
right.
going to be tough. But, you know, I don't see the table layout changing.
Right.
But again, you know, we've been having some internal discussions, too, about how can we change the actual furniture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what innovations could we implement in the furniture to incorporate technologies or amenities that can help, you know, curb the spread of germs,
mm-hmm.
make people feel better.
Sure.
And, you know, there's stuff like that I think, you know, could be in our future.
Mm-hmm. Maybe those old 1960s style capsules, you know.
You know what? I've actually seen some imagery of some restaurants in Europe
yeah.
that are doing that,
yeah.
and you know, it looks bizarre. But who knows?
I guess people will try anything. So, how much is technology playing a role in this redesign of the casino floor? For example, I know My friend John Akers has developed a system where when somebody starts playing a machine, it turns the other two machines on either side of it off. You know, so you don't have all the slot machines turned off, you know, all the time. But when somebody hops on a machine, it turns off. So that's a technology advance. And then, you know, with some of these UV lighting things that are out there as well, what are some of the other technologies that you have heard about?
You know, I think probably the biggest and the most important is going to be the use of apps. You know, a lot of these properties have been looking into this for some time. Mm-hmm. You know, MGM has been a huge innovator in this. And this situation is supercharging that rollout.
Right.
And there's a ton of different ways that's going to be utilized. And it could be, you know, linking that to a player's card and to do things like what you just mentioned.
Right.
But this is going to tie in things. You know, we're already seeing room keys and you can make dinner reservations, but it can track your gaming and it can track your location. And maybe more importantly, actually, you know, integrate mobile betting.
Right.
So when you think about what we talked about before with the gaming floor, if now we have extra space and we potentially, you know, have just, say, for example, a seating area in the middle of the casino that's well integrated, people can actually be gaming on there now if those technologies keep up. So this is something that I think is going to roll out pretty quickly. And, you know, I think a lot of people were a little hesitant on it before, but this really pushed that to the forefront, and I think it's going to be a very important technology in terms of the casino floor and the entire resort moving
forward. So food and beverage is certainly a hurdle that these casinos have to get over. You know, we just saw in New Jersey they want to open the casinos, you know, tomorrow without any food and beverage. So, you know, I guess a carryout. So that, how does that make your casino experience better? But what do you think, for example, a food court will look like, you know, after this is over?
Yeah, so this is really interesting because, you know, food and beverage is such an important part of the guest experience and the whole casino. And you know, looking at a food court specifically, we all know what the old food courts used to look like.
Right.
And we've been trending away from that for some time.
Right.
So it's already been this evolution of, you know, a better, much more engaged experience to the guest. The food has gotten far more high quality. And so that's going to take things in a different direction from where the food court was. And I think what we're going to see is, and you kind of mentioned it a moment ago, incorporation of grab and go. And I'm not talking about, you know, a prepackaged sandwich like you get at the gas station, like truly, you know, wonderful grab and go food that's well packaged and able to be taken away. You know, one of the most unpleasant scenarios in these, you know, food court environments is always finding a table. They're dirty. You know, that's just not allowed anymore. Like you cannot have customer walking up to a table and chair that's dirty. So I think it's going to be shrinking those areas and encouraging things like in-room eating. You know, the dining in your room, that experience is going to evolve very quickly into something that it hasn't been before. And so I think the result of that is going to be a quick serve options that are far more like, you know, perhaps Block 16 at the Cosmopolitan than a traditional food court.
So JCJ obviously designs restaurants inside casinos. How are you approaching that now with the capacity limits you have and you know, again, the 6-foot social distancing? Are you putting tables more further apart, or how's that working?
Well, it depends on the restaurant because, you know, different types of restaurants are going to have different types of seating and, you know, fixed seating versus loose seating. And, you know, you can move around loose seating, but you can't really move around fixed seating. So we approach it in different ways. You know, the fixed seating, you see dividers going up. Again, those are sort of those short-term solutions. I think in some cases in dining rooms that may stay longer than, you know, the face-to-face interaction situations. But the key is going to be, I think, flexibility and allowing that ebb and flow of you know, people being tightly packed versus more generous areas. But in, you know, that doesn't solve the revenue part of the equation,
So
if you operate at 50% capacity, you know, restaurants can't survive even in a gaming environment with 50% revenue. So back to the grab and go thing, very important to incorporate that into restaurants. So not, you know, unlikely that you're going to see some type of a takeout station at a lot of these restaurants, right. Or perhaps the restaurants are going to incorporate, takeaway options where they're actually bringing some sort of level of service to mm-hmm. the guest room for sure. an in-room dining experience. Yeah. You know, from a design standpoint, that may happen a lot behind the house or mm-hmm. in the back of the house.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's going to be important for introducing that that product to the guest and mm-hmm. allowing them to enjoy it wherever they're comfortable, whether that's sure. in a dining room or in their guest room.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that makes a lot of sense. So buffets are the big issue now. A lot of casinos have just already eliminated them. It's not worth their trouble. And they've always been loss leaders to begin with. So now how do you deal with that? You just saw Wynn opening their buffet last week, and it doesn't sound like a buffet to me.
it's not. But let's talk about what the buffet is right. and why it's important. It's a loss leader, like you said, mm-hmm. But it's a tremendous asset when it comes to feeding people.
Right.
Like the volume in those restaurants are incredible.
Right.
But what's important to the guests is not necessarily going and getting their own food. It's the idea that they can have a lot of great food, mm-hmm. high quality, and a ton of choices.
Right.
Right? So
sure.
you can maintain that, but in a very different environment. So
right.
you mentioned Wynn, of course, and it's not a buffet. It's a sit-down restaurant
sure,
with
right.
basically a prefix menu, and it's just a really, really long one,
yeah.
and you can make all the choices, mm-hmm. and your server brings it out to you. But what I think is kind of exciting about the buffets is it's an amenity that's going to be important, and I don't think that's going to go away from the guest perspective.
Right.
But from the property perspective, you can innovate in a lot of different ways. So depending on where you are, even regional properties versus strip properties, knowing your customer and what they want is going to be important, and then being creative in what that means. Like you can move a lot of that very expensive food service equipment that's mm-hmm. currently customer facing to
right.
the back of the house. It can run much more efficiently.
Right.
And you can bring that behind that wall and then allow a whole bunch of different things to happen in the front of the house, like whether it's a traditional sit-down dining option like a Wynn, or you could be ordering off a mobile app and a robot could bring your
right,
food
sure,
out to you.
Right.
Who knows? Or maybe it's
yeah.
dim sum style. You never
yeah,
know.
Sure,
I mean,
right.
it's
yeah.
there's a lot of different options there, and I think it's going to be up to the properties to decide what's the most creative and innovative solutions. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of the footprint that they live in on the casino floor, I think that has to stay. And I think from a customer's perspective, a type of experience like that is going to have to stay. It's just going to look much different than it has before.
Sure.
FSB is more than just a platform. With more than 100,000 live sporting events traded by FSB teams each year, FSB has the experience to help you launch the most exciting U.S. sports betting operation. Built by experts with years of experience and powering some of the world's most successful brands, the FSB platform has been created to put you in charge of your business. FSB helps by creating online and retail solutions that are supported by an incredibly strong mobile offering with marketing, trading, payments, and all the other tools required to support a world-leading sports book. The FSB team is good, but their technology is great. And now back to our podcast.
So we've seen the entertainment obviously being hit massively. I don't think anybody can imagine going sitting in a theater shoulder to shoulder with somebody at least for the next 6 months. So what's going to be the first to come back? I would imagine be lounges with that kind of separation.
I'd agree with that. I think lounges are easier to implement, and they're easier to kind of modify in mm-hmm. ways that we need to be modified now. But that trend was already there beforehand too.
Right.
the old days of a old style Vegas entertainment lounge has been coming back. People
right.
like
sure.
that entertainment, and I can think of seeing some poor examples of that in the past of bars that kind of have a platform and they,
right.
the performers don't relate well to the audience.
Right.
But I think with some thought, that won't be the case. But you're going to have these opportunities for entertainment where right now it's very important because we don't have those other forms of entertainment. So
right.
you've got to bring something out. And into the long term, even when 6 months down the road or whenever we're going to get back into showrooms and theaters, I think that's going to be an important amenity for
right.
the guests that just don't feel comfortable in those crowds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be a great thing.
I
think it's going to be a short-term solution. That might be one of the short-term solutions that sticks around for a lot
okay.
longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. And that would make sense. Is there some kind of redesign thought for showrooms at this point?
You know, interestingly, the old school showrooms, you know, mm-hmm. the ones with the rows of right. of, yeah. of the horseshoe mm-hmm. booths, those are probably the most convenient spaces to redesign mm-hmm. that allow for proper distancing.
Sure, right.
So they, you know, you could argue they have a new lease on life, and you have some of these showrooms tucked in the back of these older properties in town here that are. People are looking at how to repurpose those. And,
sure.
And I think there's some interesting options there. I think the bigger the room you get, the harder that becomes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you start to get into those you know, bigger theater-type scenarios, and who knows? You know, if right. they're able to distance people with advanced ticketing, that might be an option. But I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be a while before we get to that level of normalcy.
And I imagine that would be the similar thing for nightclubs as well.
Yeah, you know, nightclubs, it's a tough one. Yeah, yeah. There's no way around it. Like, that's probably, you know, you couldn't think of a harder environment to deal with
right.
relative to a virus than a nightclub. But, you know, there's one thing I've been fortunate to be involved with a fair amount of nightclub design in the past. And there's one thing that's true. It's that those operators are innovators.
Right.
Like, they're smart people, and they look ahead, and they understand what people are wanting. So I'll give you an example. You know, we're fortunate to call Tao Group a client, and mm-hmm. and at the Cosmopolitan here in town, they've already repurposed their outdoor area at Marquee
okay.
Into a nighttime poolside environment. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, there's dancing. It's distanced. Right. You know, it's very different, and mm-hmm. maybe not the long term solution, but it's something.
Sure,
and it proves that, you know, the desire is there in some form. So it's going to be interesting to watch how that innovates, because, you know, the nightclub industry as a whole has been evolving very rapidly over the past number of years. Mm-hmm. You know, you've seen consolidation in that industry.
Right.
And I think what this is going to do, you know, this time right now is going to sort of consolidate those ideals, and we're going to have to really look hard at what are the appetites of millennials, Gen Z, and how those groups of those demographics look at not only the virus, but music and finance and
sure.
just their social proclivities mm-hmm. and what that equation pans out to be and how that ends up. You know, there's going to be a nightlife solution to that.
Right.
What it is going to be different. So, you know, stay tuned, because I think there's some great minds that are thinking about that already. I just don't think they have all the answers yet.
Right, right. And of course, day clubs are really just pools, so they're able to transform that into just a pool experience. You know, with the cabanas are the perfect social distancing, I would imagine.
Absolutely. You know, pools are going to be tremendously important, I think, coming mm-hmm. out of this pandemic. You know, we're in the middle of summer,
right.
And we have a long pool season ahead of us. And, you know, you mentioned them being already set up as being distanced, and they can be adjusted in a lot of different ways to accommodate that distancing. You know, Mandalay Bay is going to open up shortly, and I think that's one of the best examples
sure.
of a property mm-hmm. that has a lot of options
right.
for that. And I think that's going to be, you know, from a design perspective, a really exciting thing that we're going to be able to look at is properties are going to look at those amenities as something to really take that outdoor space and make it multi-purpose in a way that hasn't been thought of before. And not
right.
only in terms of the use of the space,
right.
but the time of use.
Sure,
it's going
right.
to be day and night. It's going to be not just pool season. It's going to be year round. And how do you take that outdoor space and really make it more than just a pool? And,
right.
and you know, those are some of the things that you already see it happening a little bit, but there's going to be some really innovative, fun things going on there.
Okay. So you just said the larger showroom you have, the more difficult that's going to be. But I think when you look at meeting and convention spaces and how you're going to repurpose that, I think that makes a lot. I think the larger space you have, the easier it is going to be repurposed because you have that much more room to work with. Is that kind of a logical thought that
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
I think that the larger space that you have to work with, you're going to be able to accommodate events in a way, even if it's a smaller body count, but more space
mm-hmm.
to have people spread out. That's going to be a tremendous advantage.
Yeah.
You know, the meeting and convention business is so tremendously important to Las Vegas and also regional properties across the country. You know, these integrated resorts have been a true partner to the business community
sure.
in terms of bringing
right.
people together. So how does that look moving forward? I think in the short term, you know, it's going to be a lot of, you know, social distancing and the easy solutions that we've seen. We're also going to have a self-selecting crowd of people that are going to be willing to do
right.
it. But it's going to be there. And I think, you know, we may see, you know, more incorporation of outdoor venues. I think that would be a really intriguing mm-hmm. way to look at convention space.
Sure.
But also, you know, integration of technology. You know, mm-hmm. we're all Zoom experts at this point, right? So, you know, how many people are going to attend those events digitally or virtually?
Sure.
And maybe that person may or may not have gone in person before. But I think for the meeting planners, there's some real opportunity there, and I think it is a distinct competitive advantage for the more sophisticated venues, mm-hmm. You know, like we have in Las Vegas,
right.
to be able to provide the technology backdrop for what I think will be the future of that convention business.
Yeah, no question. I think you're going to have to really combine the in-person experience with the virtual experience.
Yep, across the board.
So, you know, we talked about, you know, all these ways that you can utilize this space, but most of this, you know, you're going to have to blow up your business plan and start from scratch. I mean, what are operators telling you, you know, like when you're designing a facility, you know, how am I going to get, you know, squeezed all those dollars out of that facility?
You know? Well, it's always been a discussion with our clients about, you know, revenue
right.
per
sure.
square foot and the different types of amenities on a property. Have different equations in terms of what that revenue per square foot equation might be. Moving forward, I don't think anybody knows the right solution yet.
Yeah.
It's going to change.
Sure,
it's going to change a lot whether you're talking about an existing property versus mm-hmm. versus a new build.
Right,
but it's there's no doubt about it. It's going to remain a very important part of that discussion that we have on every project with a client is
sure.
how to make those spaces. Profitable.
Mm.
There's no way around it.
Right. So I imagine when you're talking to clients about building, you know, a new property or adding to an existing property, you're talking about, you know, new technology as well, because we just mentioned the virtual and live experience in a meeting or convention, and you referenced, you know, gambling on your mobile device somewhere in the casino hotel. I mean, this has to change the way you look at the way you lay out the entire property, I would think.
In some ways, you know, I think one of the more interesting and difficult conundrums that we're going to face is going to be vertical transportation, because
mm-hmm.
you know, you look at a hotel tower and you can change a lot of things in a hotel tower, but it's really hard to change a vertical transportation.
Right.
So,
yeah, sure.
And right now, we're seeing limits of 4 people per mm-hmm. elevator
right.
elevator cab. And my observations are that it's been fairly doable.
Mm-hmm.
You see lines at peak times, but what you got to remember is we're only operating at 50% capacity.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
So that's going to be a challenge moving forward. So when we plan ahead. I think there's a couple different interesting strategies. You know, elevators are expensive. We're probably going to end up with more of them, but we're probably
right.
going to be integrating some really interesting technology out there regarding vertical transportation, where you can manage your cabs in a way that make the elevators run much more efficiently.
Sure.
And they do things like, you know, you can have a reserved time to get on an elevator.
Yeah.
You can call the elevator with your mobile device.
Like, mm-hmm.
it's not cheap technology,
but
it's going to be very important, and it's going to be far more feasible to introduce that technology into a building that has existing vertical transportation than
sure.
one that doesn't.
Right, right. Yeah, no question about that. So just one last question. What do you believe are going to be some of the lasting impacts on design of this COVID-19 crisis?
Well, you know, we've mentioned the sort of the short, the mid, and the long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think the short term things that we see are going to fall by the wayside. Midterm, you know, call that 6 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see a lot of adaptation. You know, one of the more interesting opportunities I see out there are integration of sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at JCJ, we've done a lot of sports betting venues recently
yep.
as that's, you know, moved across the country. And we can't go to sporting events now.
Right.
And you know, as you're probably like me, and I miss it. I miss sports a lot.
Yeah.
And where are we going to go if not to the game? And these resorts have a lot of opportunity to step in and kind of fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that as sort of those midterm adjustments. But you know, really long term, it's going to be stripping back all the layers of noise that have been kind of accumulating in terms of design and the guest experience.
Right.
And we're going to be working with our clients to really get to the core of what they are, and that's providing good guest service. And as hospitality designers, you know, we understand what it is to support that, whether it's beautiful spaces or, you know, functionality. And I think, you know, moving forward, it's going to be design solutions that are at the nexus of wellness, great guest experiences, and, you know, moving forward with solutions that are really taking the opportunity to make a meaningful impact to the guests in this new time where people are hesitant to go out. So when they do venture out, you have a real opportunity to make an impact on them. So I think it's going to be, you know, those meaningful impacts to supporting a great guest experience and, of course, you know, beautiful spaces.
Sure. Well, Mike, it's been great to talk to you. It sounds like an exciting time in your profession. It'll keep you busy for quite some time, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of the innovations that you come up with.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed today's podcast brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. To learn more about how the design of casinos are changing due to COVID and other factors, visit ggmintmagazine.com as well as Casino Style Magazine at casinostylemagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast. Yeah, you're breaking too.